We're about to visit a seemingly barren region that everybody wants to own. Nations and corporations are jostling for a share of the Arctic. And this week, our series Climate Connections with National Geographic tracks the maneuvering for resources at the top of the world.
The climate is changing, and so is the business climate, which you can see when traveling north of the Arctic Circle. This place is home to caribou and wolves and very few people.
Everybody comes down to meet the planes. That's just about everybody in town right there.
About 10 people.
A Canadian named Glenn Warner points out the window of a float plane. It's descending to an Arctic harbor that's clear of ice in summer.
Stay right, Sean. It's shallow on this side.
Yeah, I'm just going to do a turn and come in and dock.
And when the pilot splashes down, Warner steps to a dock near the tourist lodge that he owns.
Where are we? Is this the North Pole, Robert?
Oh, yeah.
Is this the North Pole?
Edmonton.
Edmonton? God damn it, we went the wrong way again.
We're really at Bathurst Inlet. It's a native settlement on the north shore of mainland Canada. A red-roofed old church rises out of green Arctic tundra.
Wait up here and walk.
There's not much traffic besides a boy with beads on his bicycle spokes. We're hundreds of miles beyond the nearest highway. We are not beyond the interest of business. Each of the last two summers, the guests at the lodge have included Mike Roberts, who's been working. He's a geologist. Last year, a company paid him to come here looking for signs of gold. This year, a different company paid him to come back searching for uranium.
This is extremely active compared to 10 years ago. This is the most active I've ever seen in my short career, about 14 years now.
Canadian officials pass out maps that show thousands of square miles carved up into mining claims, which may give you a hint why the Arctic has been of such interest to government leaders this summer, including the Prime Minister of Canada.
Prime Minister Stephen Harper announced big plans today for the Arctic, intended to make the true North strong and undeniably Canadian.
He plans an Arctic naval base and new Canadian warships. They would defend the Northwest Passage. That's a sea route that slips near the village on Canada's north shore where we landed that float plane.
Canada's new government understands the first principle of Arctic sovereignty. Use it or lose it.
Harper wants to use a passage that's mainly famous for explorers who were trapped in the ice there. Now that seaway offers clear sailing during part of the lengthening Arctic summer. Farther north this summer, another country was staking out territory. A submarine from Russia traveled to the North Pole. The crew planted a flag on the ocean floor and came home to congratulations from President Vladimir Putin. It was a big success for science, Putin said before the cameras. Maybe, but it was also part of Russia's bid to own much of the Arctic Ocean. Russia's rivals may include the United States, which recently sent an icebreaker north of Alaska.
Now set flight quarters condition one.
It's the Coast Guard cutter Healy. Captain Ted Lindstrom's orders are to map the ocean floor, seeking signs that undersea ridges and mountains are technically part of the United States.
We believe that the information will provide evidence that there's an area that really should be claimed. It's a very large area. It clearly doesn't extend as far north as the North Pole, but we believe the extent of the continental shelf is up around 78, 79, maybe as high as 80 degrees north.
The Healy is gathering information in case the U.S. joins a treaty called the Law of the Sea. The treaty lets nations claim parts of the ocean floor. Captain Lindstrom says that's one more factor driving interest in the Arctic.
The fact that there are concerns about global warming, the fact that there's concerns about the increased commercial traffic in the Arctic that could be possible because of the receding ice edge, the mineral rights, many of those issues have kind of come together and raised the visibility of many people here in the Arctic.
You heard him say shipping and mineral rights. A lot of business could be done on top of the world. One American who studies these issues sees opportunities as vast as the chunks of polar ice cap that broke apart this summer.
Less ice means a more accessible Arctic Ocean.
Meade Treadwell is chairman of the U.S. Arctic Commission, appointed by President Bush. Visit his office in the city of Anchorage, and he points to a map that's oriented so the North Pole is the center of the world. Surrounding the pole, like rival suitors, are places like Russia and Norway, not to mention Treadwell's own oil-rich state of Alaska. Look at the world this way, and you see how the Arctic provides a route from the Atlantic to Pacific Oceans.
Exploration in the Arctic for 500 years has been looking for a near route to Asia. The idea that the Arctic Ocean may be as important to global commerce as the Panama and the Suez Canal is now a near potential idea. For the oil and gas business, the prospect of drilling offshore and shipping from offshore in the Arctic is now very much part of people's thinking. And so people are looking at that over a 100-year horizon.
A 100-year horizon?
Sure.
Meaning that there are people racing to claim pieces of ocean, thinking that maybe 100 years from now it'll be a lot easier to extract whatever resources might be there.
You think about it this way. Seward put up with a lot of guff to buy Alaska in 1867.
The Secretary of State who agreed to the
That's
deal.
That's right. Okay. It was called Seward's Folly. Seward had a pretty big debate. And about 100 years later, the Prudhoe Bay discovery was made, and 101 years later in 1968. And if we don't make these claims now, we won't have this shot at these resources, even if it's half a century from now.
You can already sense the possibility of change if you stop by Bathurst Inlet. That's the spot where we started this report. And it's a place where people are accustomed to pulling a very different bounty from the land, like wild blueberries, which Tony Akaluk pops in his mouth like candy as he walks across the tundra.
Oh, this ground is spongy.
Yeah, soft. Hard to walk in.
He's a member of the Inuit nations who've lived on this land for centuries. And for him, Arctic ice is good. It lets him go hunting on lakes and streams. But he doesn't need a climate scientist to tell him there's less of it.
Like during in December, usually really cold, and it's warmed up a lot. It's like springtime in December sometimes. You have to wait for a long time to get thicker ice.
That thinning ice may delay Tony Akaluk's hunt in the fall. But it may create opportunities for those hunting Arctic commerce.
Sun wants to break through.
Yeah. Looks like it's going to break through late this afternoon.
Our reporting continues tomorrow when we'll hear about dreams of placing a seaport near that tiny village at Bathurst Inlet. It could affect the industry that wants to put a diamond on your finger. You can find Arctic photos at npr.org.